Turn with me, please, for our second reading to 1 Samuel chapter 12. First Samuel chapter 12, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And Samuel said unto all Israel, Behold, I have hearkened unto your voice in all that ye said unto me, and have made a king over you. And now behold, the king walketh before you, and I am old and gray-headed. And behold, my sons are with you, and I have walked before you from my childhood unto this day. Behold, here I am. Witness against me before the Lord, and before his anointed, whose ox have I taken? Or whose ass have I taken? Or whom have I defrauded? Whom have I oppressed? Or of whose hand have I received any bribe to blind mine eyes therewith? And I will restore it you. And they said, Thou hast not defrauded us, nor oppressed us, neither hast thou taken aught of any man's hand. And he said unto them, The Lord is witness against you, and his anointed is witness this day, that ye have not found aught in my hand. And they answered, He is witness. And Samuel said unto the people, It is the Lord that advanced Moses and Aaron, and that brought your fathers up out of the land of Egypt. Now therefore stand still, that I may reason with you before the Lord, of all the righteous acts of the Lord which he did to you, and to your fathers. When Jacob was come into Egypt, and your fathers cried unto the Lord, then the Lord sent Moses and Aaron, which brought forth your fathers out of Egypt, and made them dwell in this place. And when they forgot the Lord their God, he sold them into the hand of Sisera, captain of the host of Hazor, and into the hand of the Philistines, and into the hand of the king of Moab, and they fought against them. And they cried unto the Lord, and said, We have sinned, because we have forsaken the Lord, and have served Baalim and Ashtaroth. But now deliver us out of the hand of our enemies, and we will serve thee. And the Lord sent Jerubbaal, and Bedan, and Jephthah, and Samuel, and delivered you out of the hand of your enemies on every side, and ye dwelled safe. And when ye saw that Nahash, the king of the children of Ammon, came against you, ye said unto me, Nay, but a king shall reign over us, when the Lord your God was your king. Now therefore, behold the king whom ye have chosen, and whom ye have desired. And behold, the Lord hath set a king over you. If ye will fear the Lord, and serve him, and obey his voice, and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall both ye and also the king that reigneth over you continue following the Lord your God. But if ye will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you, as it was against your fathers. Now therefore, stand and see this great thing, which the Lord will do before your eyes. Is it not wheat harvest today? I will call unto the Lord, and he shall send thunder and rain, that ye may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which ye have done in the sight of the Lord in asking you a king. And Samuel called unto the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. And all the people said unto Samuel, Pray for thy servants unto the Lord thy God, that we die not, for we have added unto all our sins this evil, to ask us a king. And Samuel said unto the people, Fear not, ye have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. And turn ye not aside, for then should ye go after vain things, which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and right way. Only fear the Lord and serve Him in the truth with all your heart, for consider how great things He hath done for you. But if ye shall do wickedly, ye shall be consumed. If ye shall still do wickedly, ye shall be consumed, both ye and your king. May God add His blessing to the reading and to the hearing of His most holy word. Okay, so the first section is verses 1 through 5, and this is Samuel's witness or his vindication before the people. I hope you heard the statement of the 10th commandment in Samuel's proclamation here. Whose ox have I taken? Whose ass have I taken? And so on. Samuel's recounting the 10th commandment here. And what is the difficulty for leaders? What is the difficulty for political leaders? Well, it ought not to be. It doesn't take rocket science to figure it out. It's covetousness, isn't it? And so Samuel says, if I have coveted and if I have taken anything unjustly, witness against me. Now's the time. He's passing the torch formally to Saul here. He is ceasing to be a judge. He's not ceasing to be a prophet, but he is ceasing to be a judge over Israel this day and passing the torch formally to Saul to be king. And so notice what he says here. He himself will be subject to the king, witness before the Lord and before his anointed. The anointed here is the king himself. It is the king's job now, if I have taken anything from you unjustly, to enforce that and to make me give it back according to the law of Moses. That's what Samuel is saying here. And of course, the people say to him, you haven't defrauded us of anything, neither have you oppressed us in anything. And so Samuel says, the Lord is witness and his anointed is witness. Notice here how the civil magistrate is a minister of God for good. And so the people say, he is witness. All right, so that's the first five verses. Samuel vindicates his office, his behavior in that office before the people, gives them an opportunity in humility to witness against him. There is no witness that comes forth. Samuel has shown himself to be a righteous judge over the people of Israel. All right, so then in the second section of the chapter, which is 6 through 19, we have Samuel says, okay, now that that's out of the way, I've got something else to speak to you about. You've asked for a king, and you've done so because you're wicked. The reason you've wanted a king has not been a righteous reason. And he starts out then by recounting their history. Again, Samuel shows himself a student of the Scriptures, not only in knowing the 10th commandment and his ability to speak from it, but here now in knowing the history of the people of Israel, how the Lord raised up Moses and Aaron to bring them out of Egypt and brought them into the land that flowed with milk and honey. And they witnessed all of the goodness of the Lord, and having witnessed all of that, then what did they do? They turned to Baalim and Ashtaroth, and the Lord sent oppressors to oppress them. And when they cried to the Lord raised up deliverers for them. And he mentions a few. In this first instance, Jerubbaal, which is Gideon, Bedan, Jephthah, and notice Samuel. He mentions himself, because he was instrumental in the deliverance from the hand of the Philistines. And so he mentions all four of those, and then he'll go on to mention a few more a little bit later. But the gist of it is, you've never lacked, you've never had a need of a king. The Lord has always, as your king, risen up faithful when you called upon him, and when you asked for deliverance, he has always provided it. He raised up a judge to deliver you. But then, when the king of the Ammonites, Nahash, came upon you, you said, we want a king. We want a king. We want a king, and if you remember all of it, we want a king who will fight our battles for us. In other words, we want a king who will raise up a standing army so that every time we're invaded, we don't have to take our own pitchforks out, among other things. And so Samuel apprises them of their sinfulness in desiring a king. Notice that you can want the right things for the wrong reasons. We're coming up to a season now in this country where there's going to be a fight in some city or another, as there's a bunch of statues and a barn and a few animals erected on the front steps of some city hall, right? And some atheist will rise up and say, you get that manger scene out of there. And we agree, get that manger scene out of there. But remember that it's possible to ask for the right things for the wrong reasons. And so the people desired to have a king, not in testimony of the Lord being king over them, but in testimony that they should have a king to do their work for them, to take care of them, to fight their battles for them, to provide for them, and so on. And so Samuel witnesses against them that they wanted perhaps the right thing, but for the wrong reason. They turned away from the Lord. And then something very, very incredible takes place. It's amazing. Samuel says, and just in case you're doubting that what I've told you is wrong, I'm going to pray to the Lord. Now, it's the time of harvest. What do you fear in the time of harvest? You fear a heavy rain or a hail, don't you? Why? What'll it do to your crop? It'll destroy it. So, I'm going to pray to the Lord, and He's going to send some thunder and lightning today, and He's going to cause the skies to become black, and He's going to become ominous and threatening over you, so that you will see that what you've done, that what you deserve because of what you've done, is to have all of your produce taken away, and then some. And so Samuel prays, and the lightning and the thunder come, and the people become afraid, and they say to Samuel, pray to the Lord God for us, because we've added not only to our sin of idolatry when we worshipped Ashtaroth and Baalim and when we refused to call upon the Lord, but now we've added this sin that we've desired a king for the wrong reasons. And so under the threat of the loss of their crops, under the teaching of Samuel, the people are apprised of their sin. And let's give them the benefit of the doubt that they are indeed truly repenting of their sin. Notice, for our own heart's sake, sometimes how far the threat has to go for us to repent. So then, the people, for their part, they cry out to Samuel, pray to the Lord for us, intercede for us. And notice what they said, pray for thy servants, right? Because it says that they greatly feared the Lord and Samuel on that occasion when the thunder and the rain came. Okay, so then what did Samuel have for them in verse 20 and verse 20 to the close? He had a great word of comfort for them. What's the first thing he said? Fear not. Fear not. Isn't that what our Lord Jesus Christ said to on many occasions in his earthly ministry when people came to a right apprehension of their sins and they fell down at his feet? Fear not. Samuel says, fear not. Fear not. Ye have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. That's the word of comfort, isn't it? That the Lord has not cast you off. Fear not. You can still serve Him. He is a great God, forgiving and merciful. Put away your sins and serve Him. Then Samuel goes on to say for himself that his duty would be to continue to intercede for them, to continue to pray for them, and of course we see in that the duty to pray for one another. But notice what he says to them. And this is an important point and often misunderstood because of the way the English rides out here in 17th century English. He says, only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart. Sometimes we use the word only as a minimizer, right? You know, merely serve the Lord. It's not what he's saying. He's saying, do this only. Make this your one focus, your singular focus. Only this must you do. serve the Lord. Concern yourselves with serving Him only, and all those other things will be taken care of. Kind of sounds like Matthew 6:33, doesn't it? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things He hath done for you. And then finally he closes with a warning. But if ye shall still do wickedly, ye shall be consumed, and your king. And so we note at the end of 1 Samuel chapter 12 that gospel threatenings can also be helpful to us, can they not? All right, thus ends the reading of 1 Samuel chapter 12.